Very good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Namaste. So today's theme, I'm calling it Only Presence Is. What I thought we could talk about today is the reality of how nothing exists but the one presence which we call consciousness. Okay. So many still carry that false belief that if we can see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, that it is real, that it is a reality. But that's not the truth. But it is in living that belief that we are doing what is called dreaming. So that's where we're going today. So first of all, follow a breath in and just rest in awareness of it leaving. So a breath coming in, there's an awareness. A breath going out, there is awareness. Now, just rest in awareness without labeling or thinking of it as a breath. Be only aware of what we call happening. No labels, no definitions, just aware of what is. So again, follow what we would normally label a breath coming in and rest in only awareness of a leaving happening. What we want to do is just be aware without labeling this is a breath coming in, this is a breath going out. Just quietly aware of a happening. Okay. So let's say that you are out for a walk. And you start down a path or a trail, but you see an opening in the fence along the side of the road and turn and you walk through that. And the first thing that comes to attention is that you see trees. And then the thoughts come. They come on how lovely the trees are. They are so big. Are wondering how old are they? I think that one's an oak. That one would be a great place to put in a tree swing. And then, oh, and wow, look at the grass. It is so green and so soft. Oh, look at that field of wildflowers. Wow, that is really something. You hear birds singing, and the thoughts come. How lovely the birds sound today. Or perhaps those birds can really make a racket. And walking along, there is the smell of perfume from all the flowers in the field. And the thoughts come. I remember Jane had a small garden, and her flowers really smelled wonderful. You reach out and touch one of the roses, and the thoughts come. How velvety it feels. It's so soft. I remember touching a frog once. That really felt strange. You walk a little farther, and you notice a form walking by, which is wearing a shirt with slogans on it. And the thoughts come. Why does anyone walk around looking like an advertising board? There are so many nice shirts. I remember Dave had a nice one. It was such a vivid shade of blue. And you walk along. And a little farther, a grand house is seen up on a knoll. And the thoughts come. Why do people need such big houses? They could be using that money to help feed the poor, the hungry. And you walk on a little farther. I had an aunt that had a big house. Boy, that thing, that must have been really tough to clean. And those windows. So many windows that needed cleaning. And you continue walking on. And your eyes happen on a piece of paper on the ground. And the thoughts come. Why can't people put their trash where it belongs? How hard can that be? Now, if everyone did what they were supposed to, it would be so much easier. And a little farther along the walk, you find a bench and sit down. And look up and begin to contemplate a universe with moons and planets, stars and galaxies. And the thoughts come. It all sounds pretty normal, doesn't it? Except there is no one that is thinking, and there is no one to take any action on a thought. And the thoughts that come are not even your thoughts, nor any action will be your action. It is all a happening within consciousness. But it looks like as if there is a you seemingly having thoughts about forms and images over there, out there. And they're being presented to a you over here. But everything that is seen, heard, tasted, touched, smelled, or thought is all taking place in mind, within consciousness, because there is no out there to consciousness. It is all happening within the infinity of consciousness. So, what we have managed to do is superimpose our concepts, our opinions, our beliefs upon what is there and what has always been there, the one presence. So this is why that you may hear or read that the universe doesn't exist, or the world doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the way that we are conditioned to perceive it. We are never taught you are the universe. You are everyone and everything. So in our limited understandings, when we see a what we label a rose, we have the assumption that we are actually just seeing a rose, or smelling the fragrance of a rose, or touching the petals of a rose. Okay. So what we have done is superimposed upon that image, okay, the conditionings of being a rose. So if you take away the ability to see, touch, taste, hear, or smell, what is still there? If you take away that superimposition of it's lovely, it's pretty, it's red, it's violet, the fragrance is nice, I don't smell the fragrance so much, it looks like it needs water, the leaves are a little this. I wonder if that's a peace rose. Could be. If you take away the opinions and the comments, what do you have left? What do you have left? You're looking, say you're looking at the young man with the shirt, with the slogans on it. The thoughts could have come just as easily. Oh, he looks like my nephew, Johnson, with his tall, lanky form and his sandy colored hair. Could have been any of a gazillion opinions that were veiled over what was there. So we sit on the bench and we contemplate the universe. But again, we do the same thing. The brilliant stars, the moon at crescent, or the moon, how beautiful it illuminates in its fullness, and this and that and that. So it's now veiled over. The whole universe is veiled over with opinions of space and time and galaxies and distances and light years and light speed. And when you take away all of the comments and all of the opinions and all of the coloring of our ideas, what is there? What are you left with? When you look in a mirror and you take away all of the comments, take away, oh, there's a new wrinkle, got another gray hair, da da da, and all of the opinions and conditioning about the body, what do you have left? You find that the rose doesn't exist. You find that the universe doesn't exist because you're only seeing your thoughts, your opinions, your concepts and ideas.
Oh my God.
When we have the comments that, oh, he's so tall, look how tall that gentleman is. Firstly, we've covered over what's there with the opinion of gentlemen. We've covered over what's there with the idea of tall, meaning that there's a duality that exists and something can be tall and something can be short, and that that tallness or that shortness is the reality that's there. And it isn't the reality that's there. Short and tall is but a label. Pretty or ugly is just a label. It is not the reality that is there. It is a personal opinion. And you do not see what's there because what's there is being superimposed by our opinions, our coloring of what the eyes are looking at, or the ears are hearing, or the nose, or the fragrances that are being smelled. So when you hear the idea that the universe doesn't
I think we're
exist,
ending again.
that the universe doesn't exist, it doesn't exist because what everyone is seeing is their own opinions, concepts, ideas. It is the same thing when you're looking in the mirror. You have opinions, concepts, and ideas about something that would be right to be looking at in the mirror and something that is not so right to be looking at in the mirror. But you're not seeing what's there. You are seeing your opinions about an image when all that it is an image. Without an opinion laid upon it, what would be there? If you're not saying, this is my body, my hair is brown, my hair is white, well, my body's short, my body's tall, my body's fat, my body's lean, my body's young, my body's old. What would you recognize as being there? So you can see quite clearly that the out there and forms and objects named and labeled and categorized and believed in or not believed in is all just a happening. The whole of the universe is covered over in just that way. We do not see what is truly right here. We cannot presume to believe we are seeing what seems to be out there. We can't see what's right here because of opinions.
Wow.
When you look at something or hear something or taste something or feel something or smell something, be aware that those are concepts. Those are opinions. Those are prejudices and beliefs. They are not truth. They are not truth. What is present is invisible. Indescribable. Okay. So the minute we impose our opinion or a concept upon an image, we no longer experience or can no longer experience in that moment what is truly there. We are experiencing our opinion. We are experiencing our belief, but we are not experiencing what is present. It is like when we say, look at that wave. So immediately we look out and we see this formation rising up and kind of turning and bending down. We say, oh yeah, that's the wave. It's a big wave. That's a huge wave. That's a monster wave. That's a little wave. That's a whatever, comes up in our own opinion. So we're not really seeing the wave anyway. If we're using the opinions, we're seeing our opinion. But when we look at the wave and say, yes, that's a wave, we believe a wave is there. And even in that little belief, we have covered over the presence of the ocean. You see, there's the wave. So then likewise, we will label the ocean. It's a stormy ocean. It's a moving ocean. It's a calm ocean. And so we believe we're seeing an ocean, But we've covered over what's there is water. But we've called that particular water ocean. And then we continue to put our opinion on it as to perhaps its color. It's dark today. It's not moving much today. It's whatever. So now we've covered the ocean with the wave. We've covered then the ocean. No, then we've covered the water with the idea and the concepts of ocean. I know this might sound a little funny to you, but stay with it, because the opinions and concepts and the beliefs that we hold are what keeps us from experiencing the world as it truly is, from experiencing what is right here, right now, in complete fullness. Are those opinions, concepts, ideas, and prejudices. Okay. So we label the ocean and we do not see the water. Okay. And then we call it water and do not see the invisible, all-pervading reality that is present. What is there? I am there. I, that infinite, invisible presence that is the essence, the vibration, and the energies of all that is, everything seen and unseen, that is what's there. So when you're looking at the tree, or at the bunny, or at the cat, or at the dog, when you're looking at that, see how many opinions and concepts and prejudices you have laid upon those particular images. Just do that right now. Let's take a moment. Just, if you have a pet, call that image to mind. And if not, take a plant or a flower or a tree. And then look at the opinions. Oh, he's so cute. He's fluffy. He loves to play. Or this, that. Okay. Just look at the opinions and the beliefs just on that one particular image. Okay. Are you getting the idea? Okay. So what is that all-pervading reality that is ever-present right there behind our opinions and labels? That presence is yourself. That presence is the allness, the completeness, the fullness of life. That is what's there. Not the image, but what is there. Not the form, but what is there. Not the old belief systems, but what is actually there. Because what is actually there is yourself, the essence and the presence of light. Okay. Now be aware of things around you right now and see if mind starts with opinions and concepts as your eyes land on different objects around the room. What is mind doing? You can look at mind. It's a good thing to look at mind, or what we call mind. We look at the concept that we call mind. Okay. So let's open our mics and have a nice conversation about non-existence. Think I can. Come on, unmute. I'd love to hear some of your comments and your thoughts and your ideas on this topic, because it is a most important one.
I didn't know how to unmute my phone.
That's okay.
I'm learning this. I love how you went through all that this morning and brought, I feel like all of the images that you brought up, it brought me, I don't know, it felt like, oh my God, there's so many images. But then it was like you had to go through that to feel this space that I am, this amazing peace. I don't really know what to say, but I want to say that I'm experiencing something that is different.
Thank you. Thank you, love. But can you see, when we say, or even that thought rises up, I'm not there yet, can you see why you might believe that thought? Because you've actually superimposed your concepts and opinions on what is already there. You are already there. Okay, so that is there. That what is present in this moment. You are that right now.
Yes.
And if you're holding a concept or an opinion about what is, you're superimposing your opinion on what is, and you're not experiencing yourself that is present right now.
Yes. And when you said to look at your pet, well, my dog is right here. Yeah. And I saw all these images and beliefs I have about this animal. And when I recognized they were beliefs, I could actually experience our oneness. It was like vast. Mm-hmm. I found it's hard to put this into words, but
I know
it's like there's so much clutter and stuff that is almost tangled around this image, this uh-huh. knowing, this isness. I don't know how to say it, but you know what I mean. I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a lot of clutter.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary clutter. Because it takes all opinions.
And it takes you away from the, I don't know.
What's there? It takes you away from experiencing what is there.
Amazing.
Because quite literally, what you call the image in a specific shape, you call that dog. Then you call it my dog. Then it's my pet. And my pet is this and this. It's a boxer. It's a shepherd. It's a terrier. So it's a Rottweiler. So now we got that on it. And then we have, he likes certain snacks. And that's on there. And then he doesn't like to do this. And that's on there. But he does love to do this. And that's on there. All of those opinions covering up the reality that is present right there.
Wow.
And we do that with ourself, and that self is right here.
Mm.
So you're going to experience your opinions, your beliefs, your concepts. And if you can see that that is what's taking place and veiling what is really here, then you take notice of that and you begin to not accept the opinions
of the
mind. Do not accept the thoughts that come along to make a statement about an image. Oh, that's big, that's short, that's this, that's that. I mean, you're right. It is immense, the adjectives that the mind can come up with. And there is in mind that belief of duality. So it's always going to give most times two opinions. But once you are recognizing that, once you are seeing clearly that that's what's going on, I'm labeling this body when I look in the mirror. No wonder I can't see what's here. I'm seeing my labels. I'm seeing my opinions.
It's tricky.
It's the same. You look upon a neighbor. First of all, I've called it a neighbor. That's the first opinion label. Okay.
Mm.
Then it's my friend, she. That's another opinion label. When all the while, it's myself.
Wow.
With a different form, with a different appearance. But it's myself. It's myself that's there. The form is different. And as long as I don't begin with opinions in regard to the form, I will experience myself as being there. That is your oneness. But oneness does not require opinions or beliefs. Mm. You don't have to believe in oneness. It is.
Mm.
It's not a belief. So when you see those opinions, that they begin to cloud the picture, or they begin to veil, and you can feel that. I say this often, you can feel when you're covering up what's there, because there is a feeling of separation. There is a feeling of not being in that energy field of quietude and love. There's a feeling that I've left myself, or where did God go? Or, you know, I've left my, I hear that a lot. I've left my center. I got to get back to center. That's another opinion covering up a feeling. There's a feeling of something. So there comes the opinion. I've lost my center. I need to get centered again. No, that's just opinions. You've never not been centered. You are the center of all things. So you cannot not be centered. But you can have an opinion that is going to cover over what is already there. So just the opinion of not being centered, you are already superimposing and veiling over what is already present.
And Mary, when you notice that, you just need to notice it.
Yes. You don't need
an opinion
about
it. You don't have to get back anywhere. You just have to know. Oh, there it is.
You just notice it. Often it's helpful when you notice it to take a deep breath. That seems to give a little space. You know, you draw back from the opinions that are being superimposed. You take the breath, and that's it.
Because that thought, that concept that comes, I've got to get back. I've got to get out of this. I've got to find myself. It's all part of the concept.
Yes. And that's just
Thank
an
you.
Opinion. So you're experiencing your opinion. And your opinion is, I'm not centered.
Exactly. Oh.
So that's your opinion. So you get to experience your opinion.
Oh, God, that's crazy.
It's like saying, oh, that's so ugly. Well, that's your opinion. But you will get to experience ugliness. Because if that's your opinion, then it's going to veil more than just one image. It's going to veil other things as well. You see?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a trap.
No, that's an opinion.
I love it.
No traps.
Perfect. No traps.
No traps. Just happening.
No guess. Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah. So you can see clearly when we say you already are what you're seeking, or you already are what is, and you're thinking in your head, but I don't see it. That's why you don't see it. Because you have an opinion about what is, and you're seeing or experiencing your opinion.
Wow.
Did you all get that just now? Did you all get that?
I think I had to say that to get that.
Yeah.
Or that's another opinion.
You cannot not be what you already are. That is truth. You don't need opinions about truth, because opinions are not truth. They're just opinions. There's another one in some of the teachings, the one about the snake and the rope. Okay. So you see the coiled rope. But there's a thought that comes, the opinion, because it looks like, so the overlay, the superimposition is snake. So along with the opinion of snake then comes fear. And anxiety. Okay. So now you're experiencing the opinion that you have superimposed upon a coil of rope. So now you're experiencing fear or fight or flight or whatever would go along with the belief that there is a snake. So when you remove that opinion, when you remove that superimposing activity, there is the self-realization, the recognition that all is myself, all is one. No matter what the appearance is to the eyes, you can now experience that all is one. So that's why it's important to pay attention when the mind is bubbling up those concepts and beliefs and ideas, so that you can see clearly what's going on. And recognize that, oh, I'm just veiling that image over with opinions.
Wow.
You have to pay attention.
Wow.
So the more that we catch this veiling over, the more we do that practice, it becomes matured. It becomes second nature. It becomes our nature. Not even a second nature. It is our natural self. So there's some practice there, but the practice is not forever. The practice is just to keep in the direction of self. So sometimes when you find those things, you take that breath, you come back in, you spend some time contemplating why I am what I already am. Keep the mind centered on what already is. Okay. I really want to make sure that you have a deep understanding of what is being suggested today here. That you've kind of got it enough where it can be practiced. that you see it clearly enough that you're going to know what's taking place. Okay. So realize you are everything, and everything is you.
Mary?
Yes. Yes, love.
Would that be where that the commandment, if you want to call commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, to see myself, like you said, we're already there, we're already complete myself, and therefore loving my neighbor is a recognition that my neighbor is already complete and is already there and is already whole, which is, I guess, would be the statement, the realization of oneness.
Yes, in the understanding that my neighbor is myself, because there's nothing else that is present. You're right. I'm the only presence that is. So if there's a form over there being utilized by consciousness, consciousness is there, consciousness is here. There's only the one consciousness. And in that recognition, yes, you are living in the reality of one. When I look at what we call neighbor, when we look at the neighbor and recognize myself.
Thank you.
You're welcome, love. Thank you. Thanks for the question. Okay.
Mary, you could really contemplate you are everything and everything is yourself.
Yes,
it's like
everything
forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful.
If I am everything and everything is me, it's almost like, okay. And that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need to contemplate I am that, because I'm not that, I'm not that, and I'm not that, and I'm not that. Right. I am what is. I am that presence. I am the essence. So in that essence, I am everything. Because there is no tangible me. There is no tangible I. So in my essence, in the essence I am everything. Okay, so I hope you can all see quite clearly now.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful.
So we'll call this one complete.
Yeah.
We have just a tiny prayer. So let us pray. Most beloved self, my heart knows you. Let me be still and rest there. Amen. Namaste.